This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. UFC 317 will get underway. The main card about 2 hours away from beginning here in Las Vegas. And joining us on the Progressive Guest Line to break it all down, you'll watch him every single morning here on VSiN by the books. He is our buddy Dave Ross. Dave, thanks so much for joining us here on a big fight night. It was big fight week here in Vegas. Did you have a chance to check out UFC X at all this week?
I didn't get to get out there and see for the Hall of Fame ceremony and all the International Fight Week, but the buzz around town, Scott, each and every year, and I was saying it all week this week on By the Books, it does feel like the Super Bowl for the UFC. Wow. It's kind of like their Daytona 500 weekend where you feel like it might be putting your best foot forward. I think this fight card top to bottom, Scott, is as good a fight card as the UFC can put together. Maybe not for, you know, the casual fans, they're looking for maybe some more bigger names, if you will, at the top of this thing. But for a fighter's fight card, it's a really deep fight card. Certainly that main event is packed, and they chose violence with a lot of these fights today. I think we might get a lot of finishes here before the night is done.
All right, well, let's talk about this main card. Again, the main card will get underway in about 2 hours from now here at T-Mobile. Early prelims are already underway here for UFC 317, so you want to check that out. We've already had two fights. Jannata Diniz won his event over Alvin Hines, and Jacob Smith beat Nico Price already, the first two events here in these early prelims. On this main event, on this main card, before we get to like the main event and your best bets for Topuria against Oliveira in your breakdown, Dave, what do you make of Joshua Vaughn, who is fighting here for what, the second time in a month? I mean, didn't we just see this guy in the octagon?
Yeah, we did. And that's part of the reason why I'm going to fade Joshua Vaughn this time out. As a matter of fact, the last time that I was in studio with you 3 weeks ago,
yeah,
we had a big ticket on Joshua Vaughn, yes, to close. And you and I watched together and we saw Joshua Vaughn get that late stoppage there in the third round. And he took some damage in that fight. And to have this quick turnaround and to really go up in levels here, to go up against a guy in the Raw Dog and Brandon Royval, I think is not the wisest thing to do. Hey, when you're young, Scott, think about some of the dumb decisions that you and I made when we were younger, right? It's sometimes you just want to pace yourself and tell the younger self, you don't have to do everything today, right? We can do everything and bide our time. I think this is way too much too soon for a quick turnaround, not even close to a semblance of a training camp for a guy as wild as Brandon Royval is. And I got Royval plus money at plus $1.05. That's flipped a little bit. He's about minus $1.05 these days. But anywhere in that price point, Scott, is a really good price point on Brandon Royval, because he's such a wild man inside the octagon that Joshua Vaughn is kind of a one-way come-forward fighter, wants to try to knock you out of there with big hands. Royval could pull guard at any time. Vaughn might find himself in uncomfortable waters. I think Royval not only is live to win, potentially could get a late stoppage, but I just think it's a fair price anyway. I'm not going to get too cute with method of victory. Give me the Raw Dog, Brandon Royval here, plus $1.05.
Yeah, you can get more than that, plus 110 right now up on DK. The total for this fight is 2.5 rounds. It's significantly juiced to the over at minus 230. Now, I'm not going to ask you a play on the total, but just your theory. If we have a fighter in Vaughn who could potentially be fatigued, because this is such a short turnaround, does fatigue lend to a stoppage, or does fatigue lend to the fight going longer because more time spent in a hold or on the ground, or just, you know, less significant strikes? What does that mean? Does a fatigued fighter go over or under, in your opinion?
I think it's going to lend to an under. I love where your head's at, okay, here, Scott, too. I don't have any play on this yet, but when you double dog dare me with a price point at that for an under 2.5, because Joshua Vaughn could be the definition of kill or be killed here, right? Mm. In the sporting sense, in that he's going to go out there, guns blazing. That first 5 minutes, if you're on Royval, hold your breath, because I think Vaughn might come out quickly. But once you get into that gas tank and you hit that second round, it's going to go quickly when you don't have a full camp. And the one thing about the Raw Dog, he is not in there to win on points. He is not in there to be safe. He is in there to put on a show, and he will look for submission. He will look for finishes, whether it's ground and pound on the ground or club and sub on the ground if it gets down there. I think you have a really good opportunity. Van to get a KO early, and if not Royval later, either on the ground with a submission or with his hands on the ground, I could see the referee pulling Brandon Royval off of Joshua Van before 2.5 rounds.
Plus 175 on the under 2.5 for Royval and Josh Van. Let's get to the first of the title fights tonight. Flyweight title, Alexander Pantoja against Kai Kara France. I took a flyer here on the dog in Kai Kara France. Everything that I'm hearing says that this guy is a live dog. And when I can get north of plus 200 on a guy that some people say are live, me as just the casual UFC guy, I'm going to take a shot at that. What's your take on this fight, and specifically your take on the dog in Kai Kara France?
Great minds aligning once again, Scott, because I'm on Kai Kara France here at the $2 price point.
Let's go.
As well. Let's go. And here's the thing. Pantoja is going to tell you, and I agree with Pantoja, that he is underrated in the annals right now of the champions that we currently have in the UFC. He's earned every bit of that criteria. And I feel like he does have a chip on his shoulder for that very reason. But guess what? He's been in war after war after war. Kai Kara France has fought all this elite competition as well. And, oh, by the way, people have forgotten, these two guys locked up back in the Ultimate Fighter days about 9 years ago when we didn't know who these guys were and what they were going to become, two of the very best right now in their weight class. And that was a closer fight than people think. And, yes, Pantoja won the decision. But at the end of that fight, Scott, I went back and watched it again because I watched it the first time around. But, you know, my memory 10 years later almost is not always the best. So I had to rewatch some things. And you saw that Kai Kara France was stuffing the takedowns by Pantoja. If he does that, clearly Kai Kara France has an advantage with the hands. I think he will stuff those takedowns. If he can avoid the backpack by Pantoja, which is one of his moves that he loves to do, is that standing rear naked choke that he's going to look for. If Kai Kara France can avoid that scenario, I think he stuffs the takedowns, the fight stays standing, and all of a sudden that $2 underdog, Scott, should be more like a pick'em. So give me the value for a fight that I think is going to stay standing, and you might get a rock'em sock'em robots affair there for about 4 or 5 rounds.
By the way, speaking of their weight class, 125, I mean, you're a smaller guy than I am, David. When was the last time you weighed 125? Because I don't know when the last time I was that small. I mean, fifth grade, maybe? I have no idea. Like,
you're not going to believe this, guy. When I joined the Marine Corps, I'm not going to tell you what year to give away my age. I weighed 110 pounds.
My goodness.
110 pounds.
You were like Captain America before. You were like Captain America before Captain America.
They called me the house mouse, Scott, because I was the smallest recruit. So they'd say, house mouse, and I'd have to come running to do whatever they asked me to do. And they made me eat double rations and double portions to beef me up. When I got out of the Corps, I was huge, 121.
That's huge to you? My goodness.
Massive.
Massive. Guy's jacked. He's our very own Dave Ross. Catch him every day here on VSiN by the books, alongside former Major League player Jensen Lewis. And catch the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, or episodes on the VSiN Watch app, available on demand to VSiN Pro subscribers. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN. UFC 317 main card coming up about 2 hours from now. All right. I bring up weight not just because, you know, I slimmed down a little bit. I had food poisoning earlier in the week, Dave, so thanks for noticing. But Ilya Topuria, thank you. Ilya Topuria taking on Charles Oliveira here in the lightweight division. Topuria is a featherweight most of the time, so he's going up in weight a little bit here. A massive price for Topuria in this fight. Minus 425 up on DraftKings right now. Total 1.5 rounds. It is juiced to the over. Minus 145, minus 150. Before we get to your bet on this fight, is this price just or maybe a little bit disrespectful to Oliveira?
I think it's disrespectful to Oliveira.
Okay.
I do think that you should be looking at Topuria as the betting favorite. I think closer to the $3 price point. But when you get north of $4 for not a good champion, a great champion at 155 pounds like DuBronx, Charles Oliveira, that is disrespectful. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about what we're talking about in the betting market. What he cares about is getting back what he thinks is his rightful crown. And at Topuria, as you mentioned, coming up from 45 to 55, a lot of mutual respect between those guys. But I did notice something yesterday at the weigh-in in the stare down as well, where Topuria, they were being very respectful until Topuria said, basically, it's already done. I've already won the fight. And I saw Oliveira kind of look at him and said, I'm going to be ready. And I do think he's going to be ready. And that's why I think the over is the play at 1.5 rounds. If you really think Topuria is going to walk through Charles Oliveira, then you play the under at plus money instead of laying that $4 price point. Because the value is going to be in the over, and Charles Oliveira will be live for live bet scenarios as this fight goes on. So to me, if he survives the first 5 minutes, DuBronx is very live. And I'll tell you this too, Scott. I see a scenario later in the fight. If Topuria can hurt DuBronx, he will follow Charles down to the ground. And that's where it could get dangerous for Topuria on the ground. But also, a price point play. Topuria via sub later, well later in this fight. If this is what I think it's going to be, a classic fight, I think he realizes he can't get him out with his hands. He might look for a sub. You can get Topuria via sub, Scott, over 5-1.
Wow.
For a guy who right now is a minus $4 betting favorite. That's the only way I could play Topuria, but I love the over 1.5 rounds.
I'm with you on the over. Now, Topuria did say he's going to put Oliveira to sleep. Hey, if it's a rear naked choke, we'll take that, right? We'll take the sub going to sleep. I love the over. And speaking of the plus money grabs here, we're running out of time here. We got about 30 seconds. Dave, I'm going to sprinkle on both fighters to win by decision. Because if it's an over and if this thing goes the distance, you get fat plus money prices. Split your bets. You could do both fighters by decision. The only way you get screwed is if it's a draw, which is we know is not going to happen. But just a good way to get a little plus money chase here.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. And if the fight hits the cards and you're laying that kind of price point with Topuria, hold your breath.
Yeah, you're sweating.
The fans will be rooting for DuBronx, and judges get influenced when they don't even realize they're being influenced.
Great stuff, Dave. Enjoy the fights tonight. We'll catch up with you again soon. Again, he is Dave Ross. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. My thanks to Dave Ross, who joined me last segment as we previewed UFC 317. Dave on the over in the main event, also sprinkling on Topuria by submission. We'll get to those odds as well. Kai Kara France at north of plus $2 as a dog price. Brandon Royval as a dog as well. Those are the bets from Dave Ross coming up for the main card here, UFC 317. And we'll get you some of these plays coming up in just a bit. The early prelims are still going on right now, and we will have the main event. Doesn't get underway until 7 o'clock Pacific time here at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. While we were talking to Dave, some updates on the Major League Baseball scoreboard. The Pirates put up a ton of runs here in the bottom of the eighth inning. Six runs in the bottom of the eighth. Pirates leading the Mets now 9-2. Well, I should have took that over 6.5. My goodness. 9-2, the Pirates leading the Mets right now, bottom of the eighth inning in Pittsburgh. Meanwhile, the Braves with a 2-0 lead over the Phillies in the bottom of the fourth there in Atlanta. And the Astros and Cubs now knotted at 2 in the top of the fourth inning. The Astros scoring 2 runs in the bottom of the third thanks to a 2-run home run by Cam Smith. Gave them that 2-1 lead. And then looks like Michael Busch has just homered here in the top of the inning for the Cubs. We are tied 2-2 between the Cubs and the Astros. Your live market here on these games is Astros minus 135, live total of 8.5. And your total in the Phillies Braves is at 6.5. One more baseball game still to come tonight, about an hour or so from now. The Nationals are at the Angels. Michael Soroka pitching for Washington. Kyle Hendricks going for LA. The Angels minus 123. Total of 9 is juiced slightly to the under. All right, let's get back into this UFC 317 card, and let's talk about the main event between Topuria and Oliveira. So first off, I did mention the weight. Ilya is going up 10 pounds from featherweight to lightweight here to fight Oliveira. This is for the title here. And I do think the price is a little bit disrespectful. I agree that Ilya should be the favorite over Oliveira. I'm with that. I just can't get behind the minus 425 here for a fight that I think is going to be a lot more even than the market is telling us it's going to be. A minus 425 price usually signals a fight that's going to be over relatively early. And that's not the case here. 1.5 also is an extremely low total for the rounds. And I can actually envision a scenario in which this fight goes the distance. Like, I can see that happening. You know, just let's take a look at some of the more recent fights here for both of these fighters. And as I mentioned, Poirier, who, you know, goes up, obviously, in weight. But his last fight was a knockout of Max Holloway in the third round. All right. He knocked out Volkanovski earlier in the fight before that in the second round, but that was late in the second round, so it went over 2.5. Then he beat Josh Emmett in a decision, a submission back in 2022, now we're going back, against Bryce Mitchell, and that was in the second half of round number two. Jai Herbert, he knocked him out early in round number two. That was also back in 2022. So his last four fights have all gone over 2.5 rounds. Not even just over 1.5, over 2.5 rounds. Interesting, because I'm going to talk about some maybe a little plus money grab could be on the line here. Meanwhile, for Oliveira, we'll take a look at some of his most recent results, and we'll do the same thing. We'll look at the last four to see where he has gone here. His most recent fight, a win against Michael Chandler in a unanimous decision. Prior to that, a loss against Armand Tsarukyan in a split decision. He knocked out Beniel Dariush in 2023 in the first round. That was a good knockout there. That was, let's see. Extended the UFC record for the most finishes there. Nice. Lost to Islam Makhachev in a submission. No one's going to blame you for losing to Makhachev there. A submission against Justin Gaethje. That was back in 2022 in the first round. The bottom line is, I think Oliveira's live in this fight. And I also think that it's going to go over 1.5 rounds. That is my best bet. And you can get that right now at minus 145. Or minus 150, and minus 145 is a better price, obviously, always shop around. But I'm seeing minus 145 up on DraftKings for this thing to go over 1.5 rounds. Now, I actually think that there's a way that we can think that get some, you know, more plus money the longer this fight goes. And let's see here. Over 2.5 rounds on the alternate price is plus 140. I really like that bet. That is a nice plus money grab here on something I think is very live. More live. And listen, I think Oliveira is live to win this fight. Plus 330 is not a bad price on this dog here. But over 2.5 rounds, all four of Topuria's most recent fights have gone over 2.5 rounds. Do we think that this is going to be an early stoppage? I don't think so. Going up in weight is certainly going to maybe offset some things. I don't expect Oliveira to get finished early here. I'm interested in, you can call it a ladder, but I'm interested in going some of these alternate overs. Over 2.5 rounds is plus 140. Over 3.5 rounds, plus 240. Over 4.5 rounds, plus 370. But to that end, and this is something that I talked about with Dave Ross at the end of our segment here, go take a look at the winning method props for this fight. Now, Dave thinks that Topuria by decision is an interesting grab here. Plus 500 odds, not decision, submission, excuse me. Ilya Topuria by decision, by submission is plus 500. Because I think this fight has a very good chance of going the distance. Maybe not very good chance, but I think there's a likely scenario. Again, my best bet is over 1.5 rounds. I do like taking plus money grabs on alternate overs, over 2.5, maybe over 3.5. But check this out. If this fight goes the distance, and this is why I think, you know, shopping around is like so interesting. Because and this is like, there's different ways to bet this. Just betting the fight to go the distance is plus 450 odds. Now, if this fight goes the distance, there's three results that can happen. Topuria wins by decision, Oliveira wins by decision, or there's a draw. It is very unlikely that there is going to be a draw. How unlikely? If you want to bet the draw, it's plus 5,000 if you want to bet a draw. It's very unlikely. Instead of betting plus 450 on yes, the fight to go the distance, you can get Topuria by decision plus 700. You can get Oliveira by decision. So plus 700 on Topuria, plus 1,600 on Oliveira by decision. What? Plus 1,600 for Oliveira by decision. Plus 700 on Topuria by decision. I mean, split your bets up. Put a little bit of sprinkle on this. And yes, I get it. It goes to decision. You win your plus 450 and cool. Like, all right, I don't care who wins. But I get a chance at plus 700 as opposed to plus 450. I get a chance at plus 1,600 instead of plus 450 for one of these things, for one of these fighters to win by decision. That's a nice sprinkle. But ultimately, the best bet for me, over 1.5 rounds, minus 145. So if you're looking for the best bet for the main event tonight, that is co-signed by Dave Ross, who joined us last segment to preview this event. I am on the over 1.5 rounds between Charles Oliveira and the Ilia Topuria, the fight here. UFC 317 for the lightweight title. And again, the main card's not going to begin for another 90 minutes or so. So we'll have plenty of time to preview some of these other fights here coming up on the UFC 317 card here at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Want to remind you guys about Edge Boost. Edge Boost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring that all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. You can earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.com. Bet with promo code LIVE, deposit $25, and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Still to come, more Major League Baseball. We'll get into NBA draft fallout, NBA trades as well. A little early football discussion also. This is Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live as the Chicago Cubs have opened up an 8-2 lead over the Houston Astros here in the top of the fourth inning. A 7 spot for the Cubbies here in the top of the fourth, highlighted by a Kyle Tucker 3-run home run. And so Kyle Tucker cashes his over props, going over hits plus runs plus RBIs, which he already did in the very first at bat. And he goes over 1.5 total bases, especially with that home run. So cash the prop here on Kyle Tucker as the Cubs now with an 8-2 lead, top of the fourth inning, knocking Lance McCullers Jr. out of the game for the Houston Astros. It is a final in Pittsburgh. The Pirates finish off the Mets 9-2. The final there. That is a tough beat if you had the under in this game because there was a rain delay early on, and even though Pirates scored 3 runs in the second inning, there was no scoring until a 6-run outburst by the Pirates in the bottom of the 8th inning cashes the over in this game. And, you know, man, 9-2 win there for the Pirates. They are in the bottom of the 5th inning in Atlanta. The Braves with a 2-0 lead over the Phillies, and we have, we're sweating out an over 1.5 total bases on Ronald Acuna Jr. He singled in his first at bat. We felt great about that. And he did score a run. So if you had the hits plus runs plus RBIs, you cashed it. Well, in Acuna's second at bat, he walked And in his third at bat, he walked. So bottom of the fifth inning, Acuna is has walked twice. He is 1-for-1 with two walks, and not knowing how many opportunities we're going to have left. We'll get at least one more opportunity here for Acuna. Hopefully two, but probably only one more at bat. I mean, depending how the game goes. I mean, it's only the bottom of the fifth inning, but you would expect maybe bottom of the seventh we'll get Acuna to get up again, and we do need a hit. We need a hit to cash the 1.5 total bases, but cashed it already with Kyle Tucker. I tweeted out at Scott's On Air the video of the 3-run home run by Kyle Tucker against his former team, number 17 on the year, as the Cubs have opened it up with an 8-2 lead over the Astros. 6 runs in the top of the fourth inning after trailing 2-1, now lead 8-2. Meanwhile, the Braves are threatening here in the bottom of the fifth inning. I mentioned Ronald Acuna had walked against Jesus Luzardo to lead off the inning, but then it was Matt Olson hitting into a ground rule double. And so Marcell Ozuna up right now with nobody out and runners on second and third. So something to keep an eye on here if we look at maybe the Braves adding some more runs in this game against the Philadelphia Phillies. Your live total is still at 6.5. Braves are massive favorites. You can get plus 690 if you think the Phillies have a comeback in them. Meanwhile, your live total in the Cubs-Astros game is at 14.5, and it is minus 132 to the over there. Speaking of overs, I do lean towards the over tonight between the Nationals and the Angels. This game will get started about an hour from now in LA. Kyle Hendricks on the mound for the Angels, and Michael Soroka goes for the Nationals. The under is a little bit juiced at DraftKings at minus 114, but I do think this game could lend itself towards an over. I do appreciate Michael Soroka and some of his big strikeout numbers that we've seen recently, especially in his last start. 10 strikeouts against the Dodgers, 9 strikeouts to start before that against Colorado. So, you know, maybe even taking a look at a Michael Soroka strikeout prop right now up on DraftKings. His number is at 6.5, and it is it's at 5.5, minus 150 to the over for Michael Soroka, over 5.5 strikeouts. Again, 10 strikeouts his last start against the Dodgers, 9 strikeouts to start before that against Colorado, 5 against the Mets before that, 7 prior to that against Texas. So he's got 31 strikeouts in just 22 1/3 innings here in the month of June. So over 5.5 strikeouts for Soroka is at minus 150. But he's also given up 3 or more runs in his last 3 starts. And we know this is an Angels offense that does have some pop in this lineup. And I do think that we can get some runs scored here by this Angels team off of Michael Soroka. It could be like a boomer bust type situation. You get some home runs, you get some big hits, but you also get some big strikeout numbers. So, and if you do something like that, like on a same game parlay, the negative correlation might be able to get you a jacked out payout here. But I do think both can be true. I think Soroka can hit these strikeout numbers and also give up 3 or more runs, which is what we've seen in his last 3 starts. Meanwhile, for Kyle Hendricks, his most recent start, 5 runs against Houston, did have a big start against the New York Yankees, but we know the Yankees, their offense has been struggling, as indicative by the 15 straight unders that the Yankees have played. Prior to that, 3 runs against the A's, 4 runs against Seattle, 4 runs against Cleveland, 3 against Miami, 4 against the A's, 3 against San Diego, 3 against Baltimore. I think you can pencil both of these starting pitchers in for 3 runs allowed in this game. And so maybe there's something to look at there, but I lean towards the over between the Nationals and the Angels. Again, game that's going to get underway about an hour from now. Both of these starting pitchers should be good for possibly over their earned runs prop. So let's take a look at that. Let's see. Earned runs allowed, 2.5, over 2.5 for Soroka is plus 105. Over 2.5 for Hendricks, minus 145. And I actually think that there could be a very interesting, like, negatively correlated parlay for this game. You know what? I'm going to price this out right now up on DraftKings. Let's take a look at this. If we do let's see, earned runs for Soroka. Oh, wow. Did they let you go over under? This is weird. I'm trying to figure out this. Here we go. Earned runs allowed over under. We'll go Hendricks over 2.5 earned runs allowed. Soroka over 2.5 earned runs allowed. Then let's look at the strikeout props. So let's see. Let's go both pitchers over their strikeouts. Over 3.5 for Hendricks and over 5.5 for Soroka. My goodness, this is pricing very nicely. Let's look at Kyle Hendricks' game logs here. Are we going to get 4 strikeouts? He had 2 against the Astros, 9 against the Yankees, 3 against the A's, 2, and then 6, 5, 5. Maybe not a Hendricks strikeout to put in here. If we take the Hendricks numbers out and we just do both pitchers over 2.5 earned runs and Soroka over 5.5 strikeouts, it's plus 500. It's not bad. Nice little plus money same game parlay for tonight's game between the Angels and the Nationals. Fun way to look at this game tonight. Forget about Hendricks, just doing plus 275 on Soroka. Michael Soroka over 5.5 strikeouts and over 2.5 earned runs, because that's something we have seen in the majority of his recent starts. This is like a guy who does both. Find you a guy who can do both. Give up 3 runs, but then also get 6 strikeouts. And I think Michael Soroka does that here tonight for the Washington Nationals. So maybe just isolate Soroka. Just those 2 props right there. Same game parlay plus 275. Soroka over 5.5 Ks. Soroka over 2.5 earned runs. In fact, that might be a play that I'm going to make here coming up here for this game. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Once again, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. We'll get back into UFC 317 once we get closer and closer to the main card. Prelims still going on right now, as we had 2 fights in the early prelims already decided and 1 fight in the regular prelims. Terrence McKinney defeated Borshishev. And so right now we're looking at, let's see, favorites are 3-0 right now on the night. And women's flyweight title, flyweight fight right now between Araujo and Tracy Cortez is in progress. Tracy Cortez went off as minus 225, the favorite in this one. Again, favorites so far are 3-0. Here on the night. You want to know where the money is really going? Well, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you the insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just the public money, but the kinds of wagers that move lines. You can see the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Coming up next, let's get into the NBA. We had the draft here this past week. We can talk about the rookie of the year odds, but also the trade period has been fast and frenetic, and this could be one of the busiest NBA offseasons that we've seen in quite some time. How does that affect the market? We'll talk about it coming up next here on Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're keeping an eye on everything in progress right now, taking a look at some live betting opportunities, not just in Major League Baseball, but also UFC 317 prelims in progress. Tracy Cortez against Vivian Araujo is in progress right now. Cortez went off as a minus 225 favorite. Favorites so far are 3-0. On this card here, if you count the 2 early prelims and the Terrence McKinney fight here early in the regular prelims. Main card still a long ways away from getting underway, about an hour and 15 minutes or so from now here in Las Vegas. Big fight night, UFC 317. More on that coming up in just a bit. Meanwhile, in Major League Baseball action right now, they are in the fifth inning and the Cubbies with an 8-2 lead over the Astros. Meanwhile, the Phillies looking for a little comeback here against the Braves in the sixth inning. Braves lead is now cut in half, 2-1. Braves lead over Philadelphia. NBA draft was earlier this week. On Wednesday, Cooper Flagg selected with the number one overall pick by the Dallas Mavericks. Dylan Harper from Rutgers goes second to the San Antonio Spurs. Today, Ace Bailey, the other Rutgers star who went fifth overall to the Jazz, arrived in Utah. And, you know, he says he's going to get ready to work. And, you know, everyone in Utah believes that they made the right selection. I'll tell you this, it's one of the most bizarre pre-draft scenarios I can remember. Ace Bailey is a very interesting case because for a while, especially early on in the college basketball season and even in like the recruiting annals, as somebody who, you know, is a Jersey guy, I'm a Rutgers guy, you know, a lot of hype certainly around Steve Peichel's team there this year with both Harper and Ace Bailey coming in. But it was Ace Bailey was the guy. It was Cooper Flagg and Ace Bailey. Like, that was 1-2. And then, you know, as Dylan Harper emerged and took over, and it became, you know, well, it's going to be Cooper Flagg as the, you know, certainly locked in number one pick. Dylan Harper is a second pick. And then Ace Bailey is going to be the third prospect taken. And then this whole pre-draft process was just so bizarre with not working out for teams, you know, maybe his team letting it be known that he didn't want to be drafted by certain teams. He then falls out, if we're looking at the odds market, falls out of the potential of being a top five pick. And to everyone's surprise, he winds up being a top five pick as the Utah Jazz do select Ace Bailey at number five. So we'll see how that one plays out. Dylan Harper going second overall to the San Antonio Spurs, I think, is an incredible pick. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of guards there on that team, but this is going to be a very talented San Antonio Spurs squad. You have Stephon Castle, last year's Rookie of the Year, De'Aaron Fox, who we have still yet to see him play with Victor Wembanyama. It's been, what, four games that those two played together? We haven't seen what this team can look like at full strength, and specifically that duo of De'Aaron Fox and Victor Wembanyama. We've barely seen them play together at full strength. I think sky's the limit for this San Antonio Spurs team, and that is exactly the words from Dylan Harper. During his introductory press conference, he said today, quote, "That's going to change real quick. We're going to make the playoffs. I think for the Spurs fans and everyone else, our group is very excited. There's a lot to look forward to. The sky's the limit for this group that we've got." He asked if there's pressure for him to follow up Stephon Castle with winning the Rookie of the Year, who followed up Victor Wembanyama with winning Rookie of the Year. Quote, I don't think I feel no pressure to win Rookie of the Year, but I definitely want to keep that going. That's definitely a goal of mine. Probably my biggest goal is just getting better every day, taking it day by day, step by step, and just learning from everyone I can. End quote. If Dylan Harper can certainly, you know, play to his level, and I don't know how much, you know, there's only one basketball, right? And you have so many point guards, you have so many guards. It's like, how are you going to make this thing work? But as we saw with the Oklahoma City Thunder, you can never have too many ball handlers, because as, you know, great as SGA is, he's not the typical point guard. Like, he is a shooting guard. He is a scorer. And when the Pacers had that full court press that really disrupted the Thunder offense, it was relying more on Jalen Williams as a ball handler that helped the Thunder get more into their offense. And so the fact that this Spurs team's got multiple guys now that can handle the ball, I think is only a strength for them. And so you look at this core four, essentially, and I'm not even talking about guys like Harrison Barnes or whoever. I'm just talking about just the three youngsters in Wemby, Stephon Castle, and now Dylan Harper to go along with De'Aaron Fox. Now, win totals aren't out yet. The to make the playoffs and all those numbers aren't out yet. But yeah, I do think the Spurs are a playoff team. I think the Spurs are a mid 40 win team. I absolutely do. You look at last year, obviously the Wemby injury and him missing time kind of derailed that season. They finished 34-46, and they're outside of the play-in tournament. But if Wemby's back full strength, and all signs are that he's going to be a good to go, this is a 45-win team next year. And I don't know what the number is going to come out to look like, but it's a 45-win team. Now, does 45 wins get into the playoffs and through Western Conference? It'll be close. This year, the sixth seed had 49 wins, but 45 gets you into that play-in round. I think that's where the Spurs are. I think the Spurs are a 45-win team this year. And so I'm curious to see when that number gets released. If it's lower than that, I'm going to go over on the win total here for the San Antonio Spurs, because there is a lot of reason to be hyped for this team. Speaking of the rookie of the year markets, Cooper Flagg, of course, is the overwhelming favorite to be the rookie of the year. Right now, minus 185 up on DraftKings. Dylan Harper, plus 900 as your next rookie of the year. And then Ace Bailey at plus 950. And it's interesting because the Ace Bailey number just goes towards everything that I was saying about coming into the draft, and really throughout the college basketball season, all the talk was about Bailey being the second guy or the 1A behind Cooper Flagg as far as like talent is concerned and the top picks coming into this draft. The fact that he goes fifth overall, yet he's above VJ Edgecombe and Con Knepel in the odds, Ace Bailey plus 950 is your third favorite to be the rookie of the year. Dylan Harper plus 900, we just talked about. And then, yeah, Cooper Flagg minus 185 to be your rookie of the year. I got no interest in playing into the minus 185 market for Cooper Flagg, so no interest in that one. But I am very intrigued to see what this win total number is going to be for the San Antonio Spurs once those come out a little bit later on this summer. There's other news in the NBA today as this offseason of moves continue. The Chicago Bulls trading Lonzo Ball to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Isaac Okoro. Lonzo Ball averaged 7.6 points, 3.4 rebounds, and 3.3 assists this year. And in March, he underwent a couple of procedures on his knee, which... this is now multiple procedures on his knee. This was more of a cleanup or like a fix job, because the other repair job that was done on his knee was kind of botched a couple of years ago. So you wonder if, in fact, he is going to come back and how he does come back. But if he does, and if Lonzo Ball can be the contributor that we have seen at times from him, I think this is a good move here for the Cleveland Cavaliers, especially because last year we saw that when Darius Garland went down with an injury, or when Darius Garland was limited, like this team suffered significantly. So having an additional player like that, you know, a point guard, especially a defensive point guard in Lonzo Ball, I think is a big move here for the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavs right now are your third favorite, tied with the New York Knicks in the odds to win the NBA championship next season, behind the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are your favorite, and the Houston Rockets as your second favorite after they acquired Kevin Durant. Knicks still don't have a coach, by the way, which is just the most ridiculous story in this NBA offseason. These odds will significantly change once a Giannis move occurs. And, you know, from what I'm reading and listening to in some podcasts, like, it sounds like he might just be back with the Milwaukee Bucks. Very curious to see how that plays out, because certainly a Giannis move shakes up the futures market significantly, as we've seen all these moves shake up the futures market significantly. And that is the next domino to come down here in this wild NBA offseason, which, you know, folks predicted coming into this year that this would be, because of like the second apron and all these other financial situations that these teams are in, that this would be the offseason that a lot of moves get made. I'm Scott Satterberg. You hit me up on Twitter at Scott's on Air. Hit us up on the network at VSIN Live. We'll update you on the scores in progress and some live betting opportunities coming up next, right here on Live Bet Saturday, here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.